I'm excited to be here, blessed, and just ready to just get into the Word and be encouraged powerfully by truth as revealed in the face of Jesus. Who's excited here this morning? Who's set? Who's ready? Amen. It's going to be a great time. God is here. It says where two or three are gathered together in His name. What does it say? It says, there I am. So, because I'm the one saying, there He is in the midst of us. He's here. God is in the midst. Jesus is in this room. He's in the house. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. All right. Before I say a word of prayer, who has a testimony as it relates to healing? This is healing class. Who has a testimony as it relates to healing? Physical, heart-wise, situation, whatever it is. I want to encourage us by way of a reminder, because we hear reports all the time about, oh, something happened, a healing occurred right there and then during ministry time. You know, a migraine from just two Sundays ago, and I think a situation with the stomach. I can't really remember what it was, and that's what happens. We need as much as possible to try and document that. Who knows why? Why do we want to fill out one of these? Brief description, first name. Okay, encourages others. There's something else. Encourages others, yes, but why? Why do we want to fill these out? When these get to be shared, what happens? What happens? Yes, Judy.
It builds up other faith.
Builds up someone else's faith, yes. What else? Jude?
You acknowledge what God has done,
and in acknowledging what God has done, what are you doing? You're giving Him glory. You're giving God all the glory. Every time. So don't be shy. Don't be bashful. Like I said, we hear Pat and I and the pastor, we hear these from time to time. But guess what happens? Just like we now, I'm going to say, oh, I can't really pinpoint because it's not documented. We don't have it down to say, oh, this is what happened. This is the person. And it's not so much about the person. That's why we don't put your last name on there if you don't want to. You know, whatever information you want to put in, that's at your discretion. But at the end of the day, this bang, this is what happened. Healing took place by way of a manifestation, whether it was instant, whether it was after you got home and realized, oh, that thing that you were praying for, it's gone. And they say, oh, here it is. So we can get to share that. And then as a body, glorify God. And then someone gets encouraged. Because we need to know what's going on in the house. And there's lots of stuff going on in the house. And we need to be aware as a body. Not that, oh, in my little corner, oh, I received this, my way of manifestation, and I keep it to myself. Hey, how about sharing some of that goodness? Okay? So that's what it's about. Praise God. This morning, I'm going to continue along what I started last week by sharing briefly. I said, how is your transmission? How is your transmission? And I was tempted to just call this morning, how is your transmission, part two. But then I thought, you know what? That can be an overall title for that. But specifically this morning, I want to consider something, a teaching I titled, The Word Way. The Word Way. In time past, back on campus when I pastored for a number of years, there was, I wouldn't say a slogan, but there was something that was emblazoned on my heart that was prime and had pride of place in my heart. I would always make a statement in this regard. I would always say, the word way, the only way. The word way, the only way. And what did I mean by that? The way of the word. The way of God's word. Not just any word. Not just any word from any teacher, or, you know, any preacher, or, you know, any doctor, or any physician, you know, not just any word, but God's word, as infallible, God's word, as truth, God's word, as powerful, God's word, as incorruptible, God's word. And we see these descriptions, this clear description, from God's word itself, which is living and what? Which is living and what? Powerful, which is living and what? Active.
Alive.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans 8:11. So we're looking at the word way. And this morning we're going to consider it from the perspective of healing. Because this is healing class. We were looking at Romans 8:11. We touched on it very briefly last week. I want to start off from that point. And please, as we delve in today, as we go on, keep in mind this is the scope of this is, the background is, we have received healing. Healing is on the inside. Now, how do we get this to what?
Manifest.
It's about manifestation. How do we get this to manifest? In our walk in this life, in our walk on this plane, on this earth, the blessedness that is within, how does that get to show on the outside? How can I maximize, it's not just potential now, how can I maximize the life of God, the energy of God, the zoe of God that is where? On the inside of me, that is on the inside of you. Yeah, you speak it. So it's about, you know, this was shared the other day. It's walking in what? There's also that aspect of walking in what? In divine health. In divine health. So that you're actually walking and living and nothing can attach to you. Nothing can have a hold. Nothing can have an abiding place or a remaining a stand or a hold in your life. And then if something comes or if something's already there, how you do what? How you crush that thing by the power and the life of God on the inside of you. Whichever way, does it? Because you're a victor already. Not a victim, but a victor. You're victorious. These are things we want to see from God's word, appreciate and understand. So that's the background in this as we consider the word way. Romans in chapter 8, verse 11. I'm going to read this from the New King James. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, who's being spoken of here? Let me pause there for a second. He who raised Christ Jesus up from the dead, who's the him? The Father. God. Okay? So he who raised Christ from the dead will also do what? Give life to your mortal bodies through what? His spirit. Who dwells where?
In you.
Who dwells where?
In you.
So truthfully, a quick question this morning. You know, I'm meditating on it. I'm going through that and so as it concerns healing, let's say there's a situation, let's say there's a health condition already. Maybe there's something in your body. Maybe it's been there for a while. Maybe it's been there for a very long time. Or maybe it's just trying to attach. Now, what happens in that moment when your healing occurs? Is it something external to you?
No.
Why not?
It's already in you.
Okay, but what's happening?
It quickened. The word inside of me quickened, became alive.
So the word inside of you
quickened. So faith rises up.
It was quickened and then faith rises up. And when that happens, when faith rises up, what occurs?
Healing manifests.
It's like, I've heard this, it's like a bang. Instantly, you're like, whoo. What was that? Sometimes there's a sensation, sometimes there's nothing. All you see is, oh, once I had this, and then now, in this moment, I don't have it anymore. And I can go around this room and ask for testimonies and hear me say this. It's not about, oh, okay, is it always going to be instantaneous? I already gave an example of someone that received ministry, and then by the time they got home to go take a nap, it was like, oh, it's all done. It's done away with. You know, so but the point is this. Take a look at that scripture one more time. I want you to turn your attention to something. It says, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life or quicken your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells where? Inside of you, in you. His spirit, through his spirit on the inside. So is healing then an inside out situation from the inside out?
Yes, it's inside out.
Who can say something to that effect in that regard? inside out.
It's in you, and all you need to do is you believe it's in you, and you just let it out.
That's the whole scope of what I refer to as the transmission. On the overall topic, and the general topic itself. That's the essence of the transmission. And we need to have a good idea of how this is and how this works, how this operates. Amen? So that power is already within. That energy, that vitality, another version calls it, is on the inside. Ephesians 1:19 says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in raising, speaking of God again, in raising Christ Jesus up from the dead. And you look at it in other translations, and in essence, what that means is the self-same power that raised Christ Jesus up from the dead is where? Dwells where? On the inside, dwells inside the believer, dwells inside the Christian, dwells inside the person, the individual who is born again. So looking at Romans 8:11 one more time. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus is set forth as the type and pledge, I said this last week, of the present quickening of the body of the believer. The present quickening. And why did I state that? Because many have looked at this passage and have said the purport or the scope of it is just for the end. It's speaking about end times, how our body will get transformed. Or basically eschatology, things to do with the end. But I'm saying it's not. That may be implicated, but the scope speaks of what? A present quickening. And you can look at it in different versions, and that's clear. Okay? And I want us to get that. That's exactly how it says this. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also do what? Give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit. Who dwells in you. It doesn't say who dwelt in you or whatever. There's no past tense thing in there. It says who does what? Who dwells in you. Any questions before we move on? By way of a review.
Like more of a comment. It's like a
yes, please, go ahead.
It's like a picture that's being painted here. Like the heart that pumps, that beats, that keeps your body alive. What it's saying is the Spirit of God that lives in you is like a battery that charges even your mortal body for life. Because
hallelujah.
Spirit is truth. And even that truth can keep your mortal body alive until you're ready to say, I'm ready to go home.
Hallelujah.
Instead of being sick, that's walking in divine health.
Hallelujah.
So to walk in the Spirit and aware of the Spirit continually allows the Holy Spirit battery to keep you charged and healthy.
Hmm.
That's the picture I see building from that.
I like that. And you know, just last week we were talking
about
transmit. Exactly. Exactly. That just flows on from the example of, you know, transmission from last week, you know, as it relates to a vehicle. It's basically about the transfer of power for functionality. In a nutshell, you know, because I'm not a mechanic, so I can't, you know, give that definition all over again. But it's basically the transfer of power for functionality so that the system can keep running effectively at an optimum. And that's exactly what Johnny just described. And that's the Holy Spirit where we have to get it right within. Okay, so how does this work? Vital energy, revitalizing. How is this transmitted? How does this transmission occur? So I'm saying the vital energy of the Spirit, or power of the Holy Ghost, works through the instrumentality. We're going to look at a few instrumentalities. That is how this works, the how-to. And the one for today, based on the title, is what? The instrumentality of the Word of God. Remember, this is the Word way. John in chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. It says, quoted this last week, but I want us to see it today. It says, it is what? The Spirit that what? quickens, or if you have the KJV, it is the spirit that quickeneth. Another version says, it is the spirit that does what? Gives life. The flesh profits what? Nothing. It says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So for a second, I want you to look into your Bibles one more time. We're going to skip the portion that relates to the flesh there. I want you to see a causal connection. Look into your Bibles. I want you to see a connection. John 6:63. It says, it is the spirit that quickens. It is the spirit that gives life. The words that I speak to you. How does the spirit give life? How does the spirit quicken? How does this occur? It says, it is the spirit that quickens, the spirit that gives life, the words that I speak to you, Jesus speaking. It says, they are what? Spirit. And they are what? Life. What does that mean? They are spirit and they do what? They give life. They give life. They convey life. They convey life. They communicate life. The words confers life. I'm saying this morning, and we're going to see how that the word plays a crucial part in the life of the believer. And from this passage, I'm going to show you when it talks about conveying life, I'm going to show you how this relates to life, as in it conveys the life of God, the power of God, and then it conveys life in that area of revitalizing, in that area of quickening, in that area of rejuvenating, in that area of, what other words can I use? Oh, is it too much already? Because as just exactly as Johnny says, it doesn't stop. So are we taking advantage of what we have within? How can we take advantage if we don't even know the scope of what we possess? Do you understand what I'm saying? If we're not aware that, oh, this can occur. How does this occur? That's what we're going through essentially in this class. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. I was saying earlier that the word is crucial. 1 Peter in chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter in chapter 1, verse 23. We're looking at the word way. I'm so tempted to quote, but I already pre-planned, decided today that I want us to take a look at these passages and have this assured in our hearts. And there's always something about seeing it with their own eyes and actually reading, as the apostles mentioned, as Paul mentioned, as Peter mentioned. Verse 23. You know what? I'm looking at it and what was... So I'm teaching from the New King James, but the King James is what is flowing in my heart, in my mind right now. It says, okay, this puts it as, having been born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but what? Incorruptible. Not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible. What does that word mean? Incorruptible.
Cannot be contaminated.
Cannot be corrupted, cannot be contaminated. What else?
Can't be changed.
Can't be changed.
Eternal.
Is eternal.
Can't be taken away, can't be destroyed.
Can't be taken away, cannot be destroyed. Let's keep looking at it. It's talking about the word, right? Look at it. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which what? Lives and abides forever. And then he goes on to give a quick description, analogy, and closes, ends that out with on verse 25 by saying, but the word of the Lord does what? Endures forever. And it says, this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you or conveyed to you or communicated to you. So essentially, as it's speaking about the word, it's talking about in essence, when you peel the layers and dig down, it's talking about the gospel, which is the power of God to save, which is the power of God to give to us, to bring to us in being born again, as it started by describing all the benefits which we have received in that package, which includes what? Our what? Healing. It's by the word that we get saved, that we get born again, that we receive this. How is this clear also? Put down, we won't go there. Put down Romans 10, 8 to 10. As a matter of fact, from verse 7, it talks about what does the word say, but what says the word? And it goes on to say the word is nigh thee in your heart and your mouth. The word of faith which we what? Preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that what? God raised him up from the dead, you shall be saved. It says, for with the heart a man believes unto righteousness, resulting in righteousness. Says, but with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. Resulting in salvation or unto salvation. The word plays an essential role, is prime, is quintessential to us actually coming into Christ, being saved, being born again, becoming alive, possessing the life of God. It's crucial. That's why it says in James 1, another place, it says, I think it's verse 18, of his own will he begat us by the word of truth. Of God's own will, he chose to give birth to us. He chose to give birth to us by the word. Someone say, by the word.
By the word.
By the word. And that's the word of truth. So, I just said all that to say that in getting saved, the word played what? An integral part, crucial part. Now, having been saved, guess what, friends? I'm trying to make a connection. Follow me, please. Now, in being saved, what is that injunction? What is that thing that we're expected to do?
Believe it.
Believe?
Trust it.
Trust. What results when we believe and trust, Gil?
Act on it.
Act on it, yes. As far as lifestyle, what does that mean? What is that expectation? Let me put it this way. If I was to give birth to a newborn baby today, don't say, don't take a critical look at me and say, oh, is that, are we missing something? I just thought I'd throw that in there. Okay.
We're going to get busy here.
Laying hands. Praise God. Okay. I want to ask you what you're going to say. All right. So when you lay hands, what?
A new life.
New life.
You've got to have a relationship with that baby and nurture it and care for it and every day. That's so right. The word has to be part of your life. Right?
Amen. So what's going to happen? What do you expect of that baby? If I have a newborn baby, what's that thing that is inevitable that has to occur? That's it. Growth. The baby's not going to remain in that state, what? Forever. The baby has to grow. So once a man or a woman or anyone gets into Christ, the thing that is expected is growth in Christ. There needs to be growth. And that's why you talk about, okay, follow up, okay, John, you know, Bible-believing church, and things of that nature that have been said in the past. But the truth is, 1 Peter 2 and 2, it says, as newborn babes, it says what? Desire. The sincere milk of the word, unadulterated milk of the word, that you may what? Grow thereby. So the word, you are born of the word, and then the word plays an integral role, integral part in getting what? Growth to occur. So you're not, what's the word I'm looking for? Stunted. You're not, it's not, sorry?
Stagnant.
You're not stagnant. Growth is expected, and that growth, guess what, is by the word. Now, not only is the word integral also in this growth, the word also plays a crucial part in that walk and in that growth in relationship with Christ, as Gail mentioned, for you to actually see the truth and the living reality of that which is on the inside coming out and manifesting in your life. Responsible for rebirth or birth in Christ, responsible for growth and development in Christ, responsible also for nullifying, killing off, rendering null and void anything that tries to attach to that life or to that body, because your body is the temple of who?
The Holy Spirit.
Nullifying the effect of that by revitalizing you, by giving energy, by giving strength, by giving renewal. And as we will soon see, I've seen, and I hope you can see, even recreation.
Amen.
What they've told you is dead. Blocked arteries. What they told you is not going to function, it's not at the optimum any longer. Heart issues. Pancreas. Can I go on? Lungs. Kidneys. So, this is 80% shutdown. It's irreversible. It's just downhill from there. But I'm saying, in any of those situations, any of those circumstances, the word, realizing the word, understanding the power inherent in God's word for you, creates energy on the inside as by the Holy Spirit that we can't even begin to quantify or measure, that can't be compared to any other power in this lifetime. It's awesome. God's life and power on the inside of you. I was going to read a scripture, but before I do that, do you want to share with us Romans 8:11? We're going to see how this works in the word, and hopefully we can get to Hebrews 4 today. You want to share from Romans 8:11 what the Lord has shown you and, you know, revealed to you, revelation, insight you have on that as it concerns.
I got a revelation from the Lord about the verse Romans 8:11, about 2 years ago. When I read this, you know, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, means there's a resurrection power. That resurrection word suddenly became alive in me. Resurrection means you can make anything dead alive again.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have something in our body that's not working right, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit can make those dead cells alive again.
Amen.
And heal it.
Amen.
So right away I said, my, you know, every time something wrong, I said, wow, the resurrection power make this dead cell alive again. Right?
Amen.
Make the organ to function perfectly again.
Amen.
The resurrection life.
Amen.
Right, so Romans 8:11 really speak to me. And also this week, after we heard from Pastor Sean last week, the Lord gave me another revelation. Because the resurrection power that raised Jesus from dead is inside of us,
yes.
That means we are filled with the resurrection life. So that means not only for our own body, but also we can raise the dead.
Right?
You know, before we never can imagine, what do you mean we can raise the dead?
Right.
Because we are thinking of ourselves. But now if I know it's the Holy Spirit,
right,
who has the resurrection power, and he dwells inside of me,
amen.
All
amen.
I do is because amen. I truly believe now,
amen.
I just release his resurrection power.
Hallelujah.
So we can raise the dead.
Hallelujah.
It's not us at all.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Roman 8:11
became
alive to me. That's
Hallelujah.
So
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Can I expand on that?
That's awesome. Thank you. Yes, please.
I think one of the things that you just said really quick that maybe flew over people is that you have to release it.
Right. Yes.
That's very vital. You have to release it. You release it with the word. If you know that's the word, we need to, like with salvation, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you're
right.
Releasing it by confessing with your mouth.
Hallelujah.
So we have to speak those words, just like in getting saved, your spirit getting saved to go to heaven. Same thing, because healing is part of that. If you believe it, you speak it out.
Hallelujah.
You have to release it.
Praise God. Praise God. You guys are just, you've just gone on in the message, and this, which is awesome. And I love that. And that's what our classes are for, interactive, you know, and that's great. I don't mind that. And that's insight. And that's what we're here for, Gail.
I was just listening to Curry Blake, too, speaking about the light of the power of the Spirit inside you. And he said you have to believe it so much that it's oozing out of you that you can just come up and hug a child without speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I bless you in the name of Jesus, blah, blah, and that it flows
Hallelujah.
From you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, guys, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Something happened here 2 weeks ago. I don't know that I can describe it. I don't know who was here or whatnot, but I came up here to just start teaching and everything. And I talked about his presence. I talked about him being here. And all of a sudden, it just felt there was like, I want to describe it. I don't know. I'm just sharing this, you know, as it happened. It just felt like, not just a sensation, but fire in my right hand. And I didn't know how I was going to teach that day. Somehow I made it through the teaching. But then the whole thing, as the Lord kept impressing on me, is, okay, people need to come out, and then we just need a prayer. And then I called, you know, I called for it before and then after, and people came forward, people lined up, and I just had to just obey by going around and then just what? Just touching. I didn't spend time in ministry or prayer, as in with those individuals. They came up to the team members, but then I just, as instructed, I just went and touched and moved on, all three. And then after that was what I just told you about, their testimonies that came out. But we need to share those testimonies. That's why I started by saying we need to share those testimonies. Now, not because glory can go. I don't need no one, none of our team members, prayer team members. We don't need names. People write, oh, and then this one prayed for me. We don't need names. Oh, I just received ministry. Bang! And what? This is what happened. Why? Because we're giving glory to who?
God.
All day, every day. If you come to me and say, oh, I prayed for you, and then I say, oh, pray. The first thing I said, praise God, because I was like, who was that? I'm not looking at me. It's not about self. And so that's why I appreciate, you know, the input from each and every individual here present. We're going to go to Proverbs 4. But the things of which we speak, friends, are so real. And we have to get it down in our hearts. Because guess what? I was going to say the vicissitudes of life, that is the ups and downs of life, the challenges of life, the things we get involved in with life, the reports that come to us, the things we see physically, the things that are, you know how some things are just black or white and they told you, okay, this has happened. It does what? It stares us what? Right in the face. Or something that you're presently carrying in your body. You can, it's like, I can see it. For those on the podcast, I'm looking at my arm. There's not, you know, nothing there right now, but just it's in your face. In that moment, in that situation, in that circumstance, in that thing that you're currently walking through in faith, by faith, through faith, can you believe the word? Can you take God at his word?
I think it's even more important to take God as his word during that when you can't see it.
Correct.
You just know.
Amen.
And believe it, regardless of what anybody says.
Thank you. You just know regardless of what anyone says. That sounds to me like the word I use from time to time, which is the word what? Conviction.
Right.
You're convinced that no one can tell you different. And you're convinced no situation can tell you different. Because you choose to believe what?
The word.
So, by way of an operational principle for your life, it is, as I started by saying, the word way. The word way. What does the word say concerning me? What is the revelation? What's the insight? How does the word describe me? What's my portrait in the eyes of my Father? What's my portrait? What's my picture? What has he done? What has he completed? What has he finished? And how does he see me? Can I see myself in that light? Can I grab hold of the truth and actually see myself in that light? I'm saying when we get to the point where we can see ourselves in that light, trust me, those things that have been challenges get to do one thing only. Guess what it is?
Change.
Change? Other words, please, help me out.
Transformation.
The change, transform, what else? Those things.
Make alive.
Okay, well, made alive, those things drop off. They drop off. Cancer, lung cancer, prostate issues, arthritis, ankle, bone injuries, things from long term. Sciatic nerve damage. Skin issues. You had something? Someone was raising their hands.
I
okay, sorry.
I was the one.
had a revelation about John 6:63 a while back, and it was the word is a spirit. The word that I speak to you is a spirit, and it gives life.
Mm-hmm.
And the revelation I had was that that word, because it's a spirit, nothing stops it, nothing can stop it, no barrier can stop it. And in that word has the active ingredients to bring to come to pass whatever God has sent, packaged in that word for you, be healed. That word of God, be healed, has that power because it's a spirit. It comes in, and like Hilda said, it activates whatever it needs to activate, because that word will not return back to him void without accomplishing whatever is being said.
Amen.
So they are not ordinary words, like, you know, empty. They are loaded with the power, the active ingredients to bring to come to pass whatever God has sent that word to do.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's from Isaiah 55. That citation is from Isaiah 55. We're gonna come right back to that. Yes, Christy.
Can I just add that word, it doesn't only heal you, but it makes you whole.
Hallelujah. Yes. So it brings wholeness.
It's wholeness. It's everything. Everything that God has placed in you, the Holy Spirit, it dwells in you. It makes you whole. So anything in your life can just, as you said, drop off.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
And when you're hitting it, it might not look like anything is happening, but you just keep speaking it. It's like when you're hitting a rock. Something is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, the day it shows up is not the day it cracks.
Right.
Hallelujah.
You know, you keep hitting it, just like Jeremiah 23:29 said, isn't my word like hammer breaks the rock?
What's that passage?
It's Jeremiah 23:29.
Hallelujah. Amen. Is there anything too hard?
No.
What about diabetes?
No.
Okay. What about cancer?
No.
What about HIV?
No.
Collapsed lungs?
No.
Okay. All right. We were at Proverbs in chapter 4. She talked about the word sent out, spoken. Let's look at this passage. Here's something that we need to take a look at. Because there's motion and activity required on our part. Hear me say it very clearly. There's motion on our part. That is, we're on the how-to. When we say how-to, what does that mean? Practical aspect. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's look at Sorry?
Is that okay?
All right, maybe I wasn't clear initially, but you got it. Yeah. All right. Proverbs in chapter 4 from verse 20 to 22. New King James says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. It says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Let's look at this from the New Living Translation. It says, my child, pay attention. Someone say, pay attention.
Pay attention.
Pay attention to what I say. It says what? Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. How does this occur? We'll answer that question. Another question, why is this important? Why is this exhortation, why are these statements important? It says, for they bring life to those who what? Find them, and healing to their whole body. To those who do what? Who find them. And the finding, you know what? Let me ask. I know where. Challenged with time. What does it mean to find them?
Look for them.
Okay, look for them where?
In the word.
Okay, what else? And what does that mean when you find them? What does find mean?
It's deeper than just finding it, but getting revelation of it.
Take possession of it.
Okay. So finding it and then revelation of it. Okay. Someone said take possession of it. Gil?
You have to actually trust in that word. You can't just read the word and speak the word without the belief and the trust that they are what they say they are.
So next week, Gail, you're going to come here and teach. Yeah, she just went into next week. Or I mean, Claire, you know, I could go on for the next 4 hours, but I don't think we're going to, you know, we're not going to be able to, you know. So here's the thing, friends. Yeah, acknowledge them, you find them, revelation, all of those things that we've talked about. But as it concerns our heart, what does that mean? For us to get a revelation of it, for us to acknowledge it, for us to take ownership and trust and believe, what is that thing that it then means as it concerns the word? What's that effect? What effect does it have in our heart?
Conviction.
Quickens. It quickens. There's conviction, it quickens.
Faith rises up.
All right. Here's how I'm going to try and wrap this up this morning. For all of those wonderful things we just discussed to occur. Sorry?
It renews your mind.
Yeah.
It has to.
It means that the word must, at the end of the day, for all of that to occur. What happens when you meditate on the word, when you ponder the word? Over and over and over and over again. It does what? It seeps into your heart. And then does what? Has an abiding place.
Right, it has the abiding place and it wells up.
It wells up. Guess what? With that word in your heart, can anyone snatch that out from there? Take that away. So guess what? When that foul thing tries to attach itself to your body, or when that negative thought tries to... You know there's depression out there?
Yep.
Do you know there's anxiety?
Yeah.
Do you know there's chronic fear?
Yeah.
So when all those things start playing, guess what's the response going to be? So we talk about speaking. We're going to speak about speaking aspect, taking authority by the word next week. But guess what? It presupposes that, like David said, thy word have I hid where?
In my heart.
That's the presupposition. That's what it presupposes. So that's something that, I'm sorry to say this, God is not going to do that for me.
No.
God is not going to do that for you. I'm sorry. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. That preserve is mine. That preserve is yours. To get in the word, to search the word, to find. And guess what? When you find, you do what? You keep it.
Right.
You hold on to it. Mm. So when you talk about meditation, talk about revelation, trust me, that whole process acts to ensure the word is steeped in your heart. And guess what happens when this happens? I have to read this before we close. We looked at the New Living. Let's look at the Amplified, verse 21. It says, Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing and health to all their flesh.
Amen.
Another says, fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then, here it is, as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. Did you hear me say that? True life and radiant health. And once I saw that, immediately what came to my heart was Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is what?
Powerful.
Sharper than what? Pierces into where? Of what? Soul, spirit, and what? Joints and marrow. So when we talk about the power inherent in the word, when we talk about the energy inherent in the word, it is effective even to effectuating cures, C-U-R-E-S, in the hinter parts, inner parts, deep recesses of our being. Whatever aspect, whether it concerns the heart, as it concerns emotion, all of that stuff, and as it concerns physical, right down to organs, cells, arteries, all the things mentioned here. The word is what? Quick and powerful. Is what? Living and active. I'm going to pause here on the word way today. We're going to pick it up from this exact point next week. It's rich. We're going to talk about the word as it relates to speech, how that comes and where that comes from within. And then also, we're going to look at another aspect I'm not going to say anything about this morning, but thank you so much. Prayer team members, would you come? You're here and you have an expectation. Hear me say it this way. You have an expectation concerning your situation, that situation, health matter. I'd like for you to come forward this morning. I'm saying today is your day. I'm saying today you get to see manifestation. Not if, not maybe, not but possibly. I'm saying you get to.
Amen.
Because the power of God is real. Jesus is in this place. And these prayer team members are set by the power of God and the ability that he gives to minister life in that area. Anyone here that has a need? Thank you.
I'll take it.
Father, thank you. Give you praise and glory for this time. Thank you for your word, which rang out in power. Thank you, Father, for hearts drawn to you in love and relationship. Thank you, Father, for healing manifestations that have occurred already in this room this morning. Thank you, Father, for thanksgiving redounding to your holy name, for who you are and all that you've done. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for the victory that it is that we have in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.